Good morning, Zion Lutheran. Good to see you all again. This is, I think, my fourth summer with you guys now. So I'll see you again in July, God willing. And if your pastor goes on vacation again, who knows? But anyway, that's the plan. So we welcome our guests and visitors this morning, both in person here and for those listening on the radio or on the internet. We pray that God would be with you today and that His Holy Spirit would work in your hearts to hear and know His will. This morning, our sermon text is going to be about healing. And those are always cool stories, right? When Jesus heals somebody and we feel really good about the fact that somebody got healed. But it's especially comforting and cool when we need healing. And so we're going to talk this morning about God's plan for healing us and how to approach that process. We begin our worship this morning with the singing of the opening hymn.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, June 23rd, 2024 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Brian Featon. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman. The opening hymn is number 819, Sing Praise to God, the Highest Good, hymn number 819 found in the Lutheran Service Book. Reverend Charles and Nancy Olander are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God and thankfulness for God's salvation in Jesus Christ. The Wayne Sheely family is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of Wayne's 100th birthday today.
rise. We worship this morning in the name of the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Join with me now in reading responsively the words of Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say.
If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us,
then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us.
Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us.
Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord,
who has not given us as prey to their teeth.
We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your mercy, guide the course of this world so that your church may joyfully serve you in godly peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Old Testament lesson for this fifth Sunday in Pentecost is written for our learning in Job, the 38th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dressed for actions like a man, I will question you when you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band. And I prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far you shall come and no farther. And here shall your proud waves be stayed." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Join with me now in the catechetical review. Finally, why do you wish to go to the sacrament?
That I may learn to believe that Christ, out of great love, died for my sins, and also learn from him to love God and my neighbor.
What should admonish and encourage a Christian to receive the sacrament frequently?
First, both the command and the promise of Christ the Lord. Second, his own pressing need, because of which the command and encouragement and promise are given.
The epistle lesson is written in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance in afflictions, hardship, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. In turn, I speak as to children. Widen your heart also. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to them, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going down, another steps before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. This is the gospel of the Lord. And now we join with the whole Christian church on earth making confession of our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated for the singing of the sermon hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 743, Jesus' Priceless Treasure, hymn number 743 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
be unto you in peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that we will consider for our message today is taken from the gospel lesson, which has been previously read. Questions are the means by which people gain answers to thoughts they cannot answer themselves. My daughter Carolyn was exceptionally inquisitive as a young child, and she would ask questions like, why is a frog called a frog? Why is the sky blue and not red or green? And often we get to the point of saying to her, well, that's just the way it is, or I guess we'll just have to ask God when we see him. Have you ever been around someone who asks these types of questions? Have you had some of these types of questions yourself that seem to defy answers? Then there are the questions that one should be very careful in how they answer. Like the question that wives sometimes ask of their husbands, do I look fat in this dress? Or what do you think I should wear? These are the kinds of questions it's probably best not to answer. Instead, maybe you should look for something to do that might distract your wife from the question she just asked you. Something like, would you like me to cook dinner tonight? Or how about I do the dishes? And she'll be so shocked that she'll forget the question that she ever asked you. Some questions seem best answered by asking another question. When someone asks, how old do you think I am? You might want to ask clarifying questions like, who was or is your favorite president? And did you watch all the coverage of the first moon landing? We have a question set before us in our text for today that at first glance seems silly and even unnecessary. Jesus inquired about a man from those who knew him, and then he asked him a seemingly ridiculous question. Do you want to be healed? At first glance, it seems to require a no-duh answer. But the question, however, is deeper than that. It gives us a glimpse into the heart and mind of God as he seeks to heal our human infirmities. As Jesus was ministering in Jerusalem, he came to a place in Jerusalem where those with chronic and severe illnesses used to congregate. At that place, there was a pool called Bethesda. And it was a tradition that held by those people that gathered there that an angel of God would come from time to time and stir the waters. When that occurred, there was a mad rush towards the waters because it was believed that the first one to enter the water would be healed. Whether anyone ever truly experienced healing is not clear. But what is clear that this was the only hope for a real life that these invalid people had. When Jesus came upon the scene, he met a man who had been disabled for 38 years. His disability had resulted in paralysis, which made it impossible for him to reach the waters of the pool without the assistance of others. Jesus breaks into this reality with this question, do you want to be healed? With this question, he introduces himself to this man as a possible alternate healer. He offers this man hope apart from making it to the waters of the Bethesda before his fellow invalids. It is also a question of faith because Jesus does not force his blessings on others. John records the response to Jesus' question. The sick man answered Jesus, sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. with his creator standing right in front of him. The paralyzed man sticks to old habits and behaviors as a possible source of his healing. He didn't know who Jesus really was or what he was capable of doing. Jesus quickly changes his understanding and his perspective when he commands him to get up, take his bed with him, and walk out of this false place of healing. It should be noted that this man didn't argue with Jesus or seek to be healed on the basis of his human requirements. He didn't continue to wallow in his infirmity, refusing to accept change. He simply took Jesus at his word, got up and took his bed, and walked. It's easy to get taking Jesus at his word when we're reading about it in a story. But what about when Jesus is trying to bring healing into our lives? What about when life disables us? What about when the coping strategies or methods we turn to for healing are not working? In times like these, Jesus meets us wherever we are in life and asks us the question, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed from inability to know the direction your life should go? Do you want to be healed from anger and hatred when others bully you or treat you unfairly? Do you want to be healed from a physical infirmity that is limiting your ability to live life as you desire to live it? Do you want to be healed from an inability to accept changes in your life that God has willed and intends to work for your good? In all these scenarios, and indeed every scenario you will face that sits you down and pushes you back, Jesus holds out his hands towards us and asks, do you want to be healed? And in case this help takes a while, or the answer is different than what we expect, please be reminded about what Jesus says about his ability to heal. He says, take heart, I have overcome the world. And again he says, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is too complex. Nothing is too difficult. Nothing you have done will stop him from loving you. In short, Jesus can heal everything. Will you take him at his word? We do well, though, to, especially in terms of physical healing, remember some important truths. We always want to receive healing according to God's good will. He will at times fully heal our infirmities, either immediately or in time, time that is better for us and our faith. At times he may partially heal us or not heal us at all, focusing on healing our spiritual selves so that we rely more fully on his strength. The Apostle Paul, with his thorn in the flesh, was willed by God to keep this issue in his life. And his response of faith finally was, when I am weak, then he is strong. At times, God's will is that healing will come in eternity. He has chosen to bring an end to his child's life on this earth. He is beginning the reality of eternity through a physical issue that will lead to death. All these things could be in play when God allows us to suffer infirmities. And we need to trust him in our praying to love and bless as he promises to do. Jesus' goal in healing that paralyzed man in our text was so much greater than merely healing his body, although this was obviously huge to that man. As amazing as it was to him to be able to walk and care for himself as others could, even more amazing would be the change in his spiritual self. Some Jews were angry at this man because they saw him carrying his pallet on the Sabbath day. And when they questioned him as to who told him to do this, this man couldn't even identify Jesus. But Jesus sought him out later and gave him this message. Behold, you have become well. Stop sinning so nothing worse will happen to you. The miracles that Jesus did supported his claim of being the Messiah. And the Messiah's main concern is to save people from their sins. Jesus wanted to make sure this man knew that this was the main healing that should occur in his life. His spiritual self, paralyzed by sin, was even more important to be healed than his physical body. We don't know if this man ever took Jesus' advice or not, but we do know the wisdom of Jesus' words. Jesus has filled the spiritual bank accounts of everyone in this world with enough salvation and enough pardon for the whole world to be saved. He has put our names on the checks as recipients of this priceless payment. He has signed his own name to the check so that his Father would accept the payment as good enough for eternal life. Will we cash the check? He promises that all who believe in him as Savior will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus holds out his hands to everyone in this world without exception and asks, do you wish to be healed? Do you want to live life free from actions motivated by guilt and fear of God's punishment? Do you want to be able to move on completely from a sinful past that still haunts you in the middle of the night? Do you want to know and experience a deep and intimate and loving relationship with the God who made you and who will ultimately judge you? Do you want to live with absolute certainty that you are saved and will spend eternity in heaven? All this and more will be ours if we simply answer yes to Jesus' question. Do you wish to be healed? God will not force his blessings on us. If you don't want his help, he won't give you an offer you can't refuse. But he will continue to reach out to you. And he may allow your circumstances to continue to worsen until you choose to allow God to intervene. When needs arise, let us early on take Jesus at his word. Let him help and receive his powerful blessing. Do you want to be healed? I pray for each of us. The answer is yes. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise and let us join together our hearts and minds in prayer to our God in heaven. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love and your wondrous works to the children of men. You hold power over wind and wave, sin and death. Deliver us from every trouble and distress, and bring us at last to our heavenly home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God of salvation, you have ushered in a favorable time and day of salvation through the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Support all your ministers and remove all obstacles from hearing and believing the word they preach. Let your grace be proclaimed through hardship, struggle, and suffering. And encourage us by the example of many saints to consider ourselves rich and alive despite every opposition. For since we have Christ, we possess everything. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, open wide the hearts of Christians to one another, especially within the home and between neighbors. Let love be genuine, speech truthful, and patience constant. Let us commend ourselves in everything as those known by God's love, and therefore unashamed to serve one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Almighty God, you rule this world by your power. Give to your civil servants respect and recognition of your creation and its nature. When they use the authority given to them from above, let it be in accord with your good thing, your good design for our world, and not the corruption of sin, which they are to rebuke for the good of their citizens. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Mighty Lord, you command wind and wave. Out of your mercy, spare us from disaster. Give success to crops and suitable rain for the earth. Give protection to those endangered by storms on land, sea, or air. And give us faith both to call to you in trouble and to trust that you will work everything for our good for the sake of Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Father, you see that we are perishing, yet you bid us to set our fears aside and trust in you for the sake of Christ, by whose blood we have received peace for our troubled consciences. Do not reject our prayer for their faithlessness, but teach us to trust you fully. Give your protection and peace to those in need, especially Sue Awe in the hospital in Peoria, and Billy Page as she undergoes surgery for tonsillectomy. We also pray for the family of Lillian Hines, who passed away recently at the age of 105. We pray for her daughter Nancy and for her family as the services are pending. And here our thanksgiving for the 100 years that you have granted to Wayne Shealy, and bless his birthday celebrations this afternoon. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Holy Lord, we join with the sons of God and shout for joy as Christ Jesus gives us his true body and blood in the Lord's Supper. Let us not doubt, but firmly believe your word, that you who formed our world and its matter knows well how to be present for us in our forgiveness in this sacrament. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated now as we bring to our God our offerings of thanks.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend David Ehlers deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. And now with believing hearts, receive the blessing of your God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace.
The closing hymn is hymn number 535, For Me to Live is Jesus. Hymn number 535 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Once again, I thank you for the privilege and blessing of standing before you and leading you and serving you in these precious treasures of God. Does anybody have any announcements that we should share with the congregation at this time? Okay. With that, I hope you heard the words of Jesus carefully this morning, because we are humans and we cannot avoid the infirmities that come to us in our sinful world. And when they do come, let's not rely on our self, because that's our human sinful tendency. But let's come to him who promises with the question, do you wish to be healed? And the answer of yes, I wish that to be true. Blessings to you in Christ.